episode of The Voices of Legacy. Today, we're honored to have, well, somewhat of a friend of myself in the show, none other than Ben, Mr. Benjamin Frobost, affectionately known as the Meat Man. He's, are you the owner or co-owner or of?
Well, my parents own the business. And my brothers and sisters, we're all the operators of the business. But we obviously have a very deep vested interest in the operations and decision-making with everything.
Gotcha. So Frobost Meat Market and the IGA in Pemberville.
Pember Grill.
Let's get the right place. I'm going to send people
to
Pennsylvania right now. So it's a family-run institution. You've been there your whole life.
Yes. So 215 East Front Street has been an active meat market since 1873.
Oh, wow.
One day I was home from college and heard that the business was for sale. And I said to Dad, I says, hey, let's go check it out. And obviously that started that. So we started in July of 99. My brother had was about to graduate high school. He started working for the previous owner. And then I was slowly coming into the business back and forth through college. So that is how that kind of started.
What'd you go to college for?
Agribusiness management.
So you're into farming?
That's correct, yes.
Awesome. So is it meat farming or agriculture?
Well, it was livestock production, basically. We don't do any grain farming just because we don't have a lot of time. We could, but we just don't have time. What we do is very labor intense, you know, hands-on, because we're there managing our businesses. So that's part of the reason why we don't. So we just cash rent our farms work hand-in-hand with the people that we cash rent with, because we're obviously producing livestock, so you got to have some land to produce livestock.
So I understand what that means, but for our listeners, what does it mean to actually, as you said, cash
rent? Well, we own two farms, two 80-acre farms, and people pay us to rent. It's basically renting the acres from us, and we charge them a per acre fee.
And that
cash, I guess. Yeah. I mean, it's not necessarily, you know, they're handing out, bringing over an
stacks
envelope of cash. But yeah, they just write us a check twice a year.
Awesome.
For six months periods.
So what do you enjoy more, the market or the farming?
Well, I am at the locker all the time, and at the farm very little time. My brother lives there. My other brother lives across the street. Mom and Dad live 100 yards away, that's their blessing and their curse. Because they are there all the time, and we're just around the corner. What we do at the meat locker specifically is, like I said before, very labor intense, a lot of hands on. So it the time demands me to be there.
Cleaning, cutting, and all.
Cleaning, cutting, production, whatever we're doing. Gotcha. We make over 300 different kinds of things or types of things. And that's a progression throughout, you know, a 12-month period, you know, seasonal, holiday, summertime things. Like I said, a lot of labor-intense items that we make just demands the time for me to be there.
Gotcha. So how has working with family been? Without getting yourself in trouble.
I'm an open book.
Yeah. I mean, there's got to be benefits and maybe some things that aren't so cool.
Well, I tell you what. We have about 45-ish employees with around maybe, I'm going to say, about 20 of those being full-time employees. And I think we have like 12 family members that work directly in the business. Not just directly my brothers and sisters and mom and dad, but cousins, in-laws, stuff like that. So it's a challenge sometimes. but it's a very rewarding challenge because we're around our family all the time. Yeah. And, you know, 99.9% of the time we have, we all get along and have a good time with each other. But that 0.1% can get pretty interesting sometimes. But, you know, at the end of the day, you're standing next to somebody all day long. You're forced to get over it or get over yourself or get through it. And tomorrow's the start of a new day. And whatever issues that are there,
leave it in yesterday.
They have to be, you have to resolve them and go forward and get over yourself.
Yeah. My experience growing up in an entrepreneurial household, my dad had a rent-to-own furniture store, appliance store. Almost every relative, and I'm going to get myself in trouble today a little bit, every relative that ever worked for us either got fired or quit. not all of them, but most.
Well, you know, we have a really good core group of employees. Yeah. And like I said, we have about a dozen family members that work directly for our business. But all of our other employees that have been with us for, you know, extended periods of time, they really are an extension of our family because we might be with them longer than we're with our spouses or your children coworkers. Or whatever, you know, throughout the day. So they are an extension of our family. So we have a good time with what we do. But when it's time to get stuff done, you know, it's time to lay the hammer down and keep moving and push forward hard.
What's the part of what you do that you enjoy most?
Well, this things like this are things that I enjoy thoroughly. It gets me out of the office, so to speak. I enjoy the creativity. I've got a big mouth. I've got a big mouth.
I would have never guessed.
I enjoy putting myself out there, and I'm not trying to sound, you know, conceited or anything like that. But the media aspect, the advertising aspect, the creativity that being a small family business allows us to be as creative as possible, whether that be something like today or something on social media, doing something silly or dumb or stupid, acting foolish.
Not for money, do you?
Well, I mean, hey, come on now. Just to note that I am wearing my Hawaiian shirt right now, so yes. We have a lot of, like I said, we have a lot of fun. So I think that that's probably the most enjoyable part of what we do. The creativity alone allows us to set ourselves apart from other places that either can't or won't put the time in, and whether that be the mental capacity or physical capacity, to be able to do something to be successful.
Are there any big box stores nearby?
Well, in Pembergrill, you know, in Wood County, being where we're at, we're about 10 minutes away from Bowling Green, 15 minutes away from Perrysburg, obviously 20, 25 minutes away from Toledo. So we're in a very competitive market when it comes to competition. However, and I'm not going to say those names of those places.
I was trying my best not to, actually.
We are in a very competitive market. Because I would say that specifically our village that we that we're operating in, I would say that we don't necessarily capture a lot of that commerce, but our average customer probably comes from 10 minutes or more, so we're relying on them to come to us.
Back to the creative marketing.
Exactly.
Letting people know you're
exactly.
there. Because you're in the heart of downtown, aren't you?
We are, right in the center of town. And the IGA store is right around the corner, too. So being in a very competitive market has been a challenge. It was a challenge for, you know, the previous owners of the businesses. And for those business operators to still continue to do what they did. They laid a great foundation for us to continually be successful. And we took it from end point A and rolled it into something very, very large.
So how do you buy a business that's been around for over 100 years, honor where it's been, or have you done that, to move forward?
You get rid of your personal life. so it, it's... like I said before, you know, we knew that the meat locker had came up for sale, mm-hmm. just through a rumor. We had heard it and checked it out. The IGA store in town, there's been an IGA store since the 50s in town. Mm-hmm. And the previous owner had been operating the business for 38 years. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, he was, you know, getting older. Yeah. And he had came to us in 2005 and asked us to if we were interested in leasing his meat department. Mm-hmm. And it was a great opportunity for us to expand our business. Mm-hmm. And it was a great opportunity for us to have a different location that has parking. That was really the big thing, because at the meat locker, we rely on street parking. Mm-hmm. We don't have a parking lot. But the IGA has a dedicated parking lot. And Bill Beard, who was the previous owner of the IGA store, always made some very shrewd decisions, very, very good decisions, and brought us in with the intent of, in the future, us having the opportunity to purchase the store. And finally, that plan was set in place, so we will start our 14th year tomorrow, actually. At the IGA, and we started our 27th year at the Meat Locker on July 1st.
Wow.
So you know, like I said before about how we have so many different employees, mm-hmm. and with a lot of them being family members, we are responsible to all those employees for our businesses to be successful, because we're not only providing for our families, we're also providing for their families. So doing things like this is very important to be able to get our story, get our message, mm-hmm. Be able to advertise and talk about what we're doing, mm-hmm. To more than just the Pembroke Grill community.
Oh, yeah.
Pembroke Grill, I just, you notice, yeah. I kind of paused there.
You almost did it.
I almost messed up.
Well, it's my fault. I've been saying Pembroville is Pembroke Grill. Lord. And that's pretty ironic in and of itself, the grill at the end of that. But yeah, I'm hoping, and for the Voices of Legacy, our goal is to inspire those that hear your story. There may be an entrepreneur, somebody thinking of opening up a business, or something's been submitted to them as an opportunity, as yourself, at what you explained was awesome. And you got to kind of be prepared for the opportunities when they come, and not be fearful, and just move forward, man, with a little bit of faith and some gumption, you can do a lot. But to my next question, who came up with the bratwurst outfit?
Well, I mean, I guess that was my fault, I guess. Like I said before, I'm always, you know, trying to be as silly and foolish as possible, because it's fun. It's like our release of what we
So can. You thought it up.
I mean, yeah, but like I've said multiple times, we have got a great crew, group of employees, and we're always throwing ideas off of each other all the time. Sometimes they stick and sometimes they don't. So it's more of a group effort. But sometimes I come up with something stupider than most.
Yeah. Also, hey, there's no such thing as a stupid idea. Well, no, I take that back.
Yeah.
And then the persona of the meat man and your theme song.
Well, you know, we have to credit Fred Lefebvre.
I kind of figured you're going to say that.
Fred has represented us with the highest professional professionalism for the last 6-7 years.
Yeah.
And there again, his ideas have stuck as well too. So that was his idea, the Meat Man. Mm-hmm. I'd never heard that song before, the Jerry Lee Lewis
yes.
song, and so that song has kind of that's my intro to whenever I get to speak with him.
Yeah, he's somewhat of a character himself. He's been
certainly
on the show
is.
Before, and a living legend at that in broadcasting here locally.
Yeah,
so that's a very good mix. So you're multi-generational, you got the legacy going, you got the meats going, and you have 200 homemade items?
Yeah, you know, that number is probably a conservative guess.
Oh, wow.
It's probably well over that. Like I had said before, that some of those aren't necessarily things that are being made on this exact day, but it's a progression of things. You know, what do we need to do today? Mm-hmm. Is it a seasonal item? Is it a holiday item? Is it a summertime item? So it's a progression of things that we do. Some of them are every day, you know. Wow. So it provides a lot of hands-on labor for all of our employees to be able to be successful.
Understood. So in the meat production or the cattle that you raise, you don't use any antibiotics or anything
right,
like that?
Right. From birth to slaughter, they're never fed any growth hormones or antibiotics.
So it's healthy, sustainable?
Yeah. You know, our farm, we're in our fifth generation. My children, my brother's children, we consider them, you know, the fifth generation. You know, even though they're younger, they're still learning and involved. Yeah. And you know, hopefully one day, you know, they'll want to be part of the businesses. And if they're not, you know, that's their choices. We're fifth generation. Actually, our sixth generation just lives around the corner as well, too. So,
wow.
Frobuses have been in Wood County since 1869. Mm. We have a very deeply rooted agricultural family. Mm. Where my brother lives is where my dad grew up.
Oh.
And that's on the farm. Around the corner is our other cousin's house. Mm-hmm. And that would be the sixth generation. But anyhow, we have a very deeply rooted agricultural family that my grandpa taught my dad and his brother and sisters that labor, hard work is, there's a great value to that. Mm-hmm. And that's something that my dad has passed on down to us. And we're trying to pass that on to our children then as well, too. Grandpa retired from farming, didn't really want any of his children to farm because he had it so hard.
Wow.
And
it's a different time now.
It was a different time.
Yeah.
My grandpa grew up in the 20s during the Depression.
Wow.
And was in farming.
That had to be hard.
Yep. It was very difficult. And then having seven children then as well too. So, grandpa farmed with a 2-row corn planter, to give you an idea. And it still had steel wheels on some of his stuff. And he retired in 1975 from production agriculture and didn't really want any of his children to, be in the agricultural world.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad, who was the youngest, had an opportunity to play college basketball, and grandpa said, "That's stupid. You need to go to work." he started working for a cousin of ours who had a store in Fostoria, Ohio, and dad started learning the trade of cutting meat. Mm-hmm. So that's what started us in the business. Mm-hmm. When Dad then purchased the meat locker. Dad was the Bob. My dad is Bob. Bob worked for a family chain of stores based in LaGrange, Indiana, that had stores in Ohio, Indiana, and Michigan, and he was their meat director for 25 years. So we've grown up around the business, meat, specifically, you know, meat production, and obviously the livestock production and cattle production.
Is it a hard skill? I hate to cut in, but is it a hard skill cutting meat, or is it something that anyone could learn if they?
Oh, anyone. Yeah, sure. Just like any other type of, trade, anybody can learn it.
Mm-hmm.
It is certainly a dying trade, unfortunately, with the, like you mentioned, the big box stores and competition and larger firms pushing and squeezing smaller firms like ourselves, not ourselves, but just smaller institutions out of the market.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been going on for, the last 50 years.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. How's the economy, the changes in the economy affected your business?
Well, with what we do, being in the food business, mm-hmm. you know, we are, agriculture is food production. We've always felt like we're a little bit of a recession-proof business.
You know, people got
to
eat.
Because people have to eat no matter what, exactly.
Yeah.
And usually you see a trade down in proteins from say beef, which would be a higher value, down to maybe pork or chicken, but we have not seen that yet personally in our businesses as far as any type of trade down, so people are still spending money, which is great. I try not to listen to the negatives that are out there all the time, because there's you can believe what you want to believe and hear what you want to hear, and watch what you want to watch.
And markets are driven by perception.
Exactly. So we try to stay away from that and not listen to the negativity, mm-hmm. and just focus on pushing forward. In the past, you know, when there's been downturns, it's not necessarily noticeable, but you can see where the people's buying habits have changed. I would say since the beginning of COVID, there's been a major change in the way people purchase their specifically proteins, meats. They're buying in larger quantities rather than maybe, you know, two or three things. They're buying,
stocking up
for, you know, a month, 2 months. Mm-hmm. And that, like I said, COVID really pushed that type of business.
So you produce cows, or you raise cows, cattle?
Well, Carl, now it's time for a little bit of a lesson here. Dr. Frobos is in session, so we don't raise cows. We raise steers and heifers.
Okay.
A cow is kind of like the catch-all general term, you know, kind of like a hamburger is just, you know, it could be, you know, whatever. It could be, you know, ground chuck or ground beef or ground round or whatever. But a steer is a male that has been castrated, mm-hmm. and a heifer is a female that has not given birth yet. Mm-hmm. So a cow is a female that has given birth. So
gotcha.
Boys can't be cows. But we're not going to go off on that subject, right? the reason why we raise mainly steers is because you can get a nice carcass size. Mm-hmm. The difference between a steer and a heifer is, say you get them up to 1,200 pounds live weight, and a heifer, they're not going to continue to grow. They're only going to continue to put on more fat. But a steer can continue to grow, put on more muscle, put on more fat. So that's why we like to have the steers a little bit more, just because of the, we can put more pounds because, you know, hey, we're here to sell pounds.
Yeah.
And it's the difference of, say, a 600-pound carcass or a 900-pound carcass. Mm-hmm. And when you're putting the same amount of labor into raising whatever, you know, those type of animals or those size of animals, you want to make sure that we can make more money that way.
Yeah. There's a portion of our family, like I said, in Union Grove, they raise cattle, and I don't know a thing about any of it. But I did participate in cow tipping. Don't judge me. Those animals are extremely scary.
Yeah, they can be. They can be. And
they're nice, but they're scary.
Well, they're obviously, you know, they're a 1,200, 1,300, 1,400, 1,600 pound animal.
Yeah.
And it hurts when you get stepped on, let me tell you.
That's what I was scared of, because you get them running, they all run. And it shakes the ground.
They are, cattle are followers. They certainly are not leaders. And like you said, they will, once one goes, they all go.
Yeah.
They are, I mean, I'm not going to say they're dumb animals.
Yeah.
But they're, as long as you know what to do and know how to handle them, mm-hmm. And be as calm as possible, it makes the situations, whatever you're involved in, a lot easier.
I didn't want to. I'll be honest, I was scared out of my gourd. But anyhow, so before we close, what kind of hobbies and passions do you have outside of all? We talked about all the business and a little bit of family, but what about Brother Ben?
Oh, geez, what do I do?
Yeah.
Well, my kids keep, us busy all the time with whether it be baseball, football,
so you
soccer.
Have young ones.
Will is 10, Henry is 8, and Prescott is 6. Mm-hmm. So they're busy all the time. That keeps us very busy. But mm-hmm. we got a good close group of friends that mm-hmm. we hang out with all the time and do stuff with. And
no cow tipping. No cow tipping.
No cow tipping. But we do some dumb things from time to time. And I'm 46 years old, but I certainly don't act like it. And I don't feel like it mentally, but I feel like it physically sometimes. But we try to have fun and get away, and my immediate family enjoys going to beaches in Florida or further south, mm-hmm. and we like to get away and have fun, but you talk about hobbies, Carl. Well, first of all, I'm a Facebook addict. You know that I'm on all the time,
yeah.
And that's part of what we do is social media. So I thoroughly enjoy stuff like that. But I'm always looking for. I collect a lot of things.
You know, what I like about pretty much everything you do. You keep it light and funny.
Yeah, light, absolutely.
Funny, and that's a good attitude to have. To be kind to people and to have fun, enjoy life. We're but a vapor. We're here today, gone tomorrow. Why not have fun now?
Yeah, I've got a good friend of mine that says you can't put a price on fun. So,
yeah.
And whenever we're looking at something and, the cost comes up, I'm like, I can hear Wes's voice in my head saying that. So, that's why you have to work hard to be able to earn that income,
yes.
to be able to do those kind of things. So we look at it as my grandparents tried to make my parents' lives easier. Mm-hmm. And same way with my parents to myself. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to do the same things for our kids too. Mm-hmm. So we always tell them, well, we never got to do that when we were little. You guys should feel lucky. So we have some fun with what we do. And just like this past weekend, I never went on a we never did any type of travel soccer. We drove up into Michigan, and mm-hmm. Henry had a soccer tournament, and what a huge amount of fun that was.
I bet you he loved that.
And they won their tournament, and we never did that when we were younger, so that was a great thing. So that's what keeps us busy.
That's awesome. Well, now it's time for the finale. What do you think your legacy is thus far? And what would you like for it to be?
Oh, boy, that is such a tough question to answer. Our if we're going to talk about our family legacy, in our village in Pemberville and in our community, we have instilled a local sense to where bringing people back to the community matters.
Mm.
Whether it being involved financially or just physically being there, and because we hear all the time that, oh, thank you so much for what you guys do. Mm-hmm. Thank you what you do in the community. And sometimes that stuff kind of goes in one ear and out the other. And I know that's kind of a jaded look to think about it, but because we hear it so often.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just our normal way of life. Mm-hmm. It's giving, it's being there, whether it be physically.
And you all do sponsor, not to get off subject, but you sponsor events and a lot of charities as well.
Yeah, whether it be our American Legion, mm-hmm. The schools around us, FFA, Future Farmers of America, and I go to a lot of different school districts and speak and stuff like that. Certainly our church, we're very involved with our church then as well too. So it's a community feel that we try to do. So now personally, I don't know how I answer that question. I'm at a crossroads in my life to where I'm 46 years old. I'm the same age that my dad was when he purchased the meat locker in 1999. So I look is right now I'm stepping into not necessarily his shoes, mm-hmm. but I'm stepping into the future of the way our businesses are going to be. Mm-hmm. And I think my brothers and sister are the same way, feel the same way. Mm-hmm. You know, now it's time for us to set our path or set the business's path mm-hmm. up because we've set ourselves up so well. Mm-hmm. Now, with that said, you know, it was still all done by us before. And you asked me at the very beginning of this, you asked me who owns the businesses. We all have a stake in this, but it's just not on paper. We all have a stake in our future.
That's good.
So whether it be financially or decision-making processes, we're all involved.
I remember years ago, my only fast food job ever was at Wendy's in North Wilkesboro, North Carolina. There's a very, very famous raceway out there. And I got to meet Dave Thomas. And I'm like, well, this is the boss. But I come to find out after, he actually wasn't the boss anymore. But he made it his business to go to every Wendy's throughout the year.
Yes, he did.
Until he left from here.
Yep.
And I thought that was so awesome because he's the face next to the caricature of his daughter. He's the face of the company.
He is. Yep. Yeah. And since he's been gone, he still is the face of that company. You know, he has really set a legacy of kindness. Mm-hmm. And you know, he's been gone for 25 years.
I met the man in person. He's really that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just a nice guy. And I was like 19.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I kind of have been skirting around this answer of mm-hmm. what is my legacy. If you're asking me today, my legacy is a 46-year-old man that is very immature. And I still feel like I'm 21 years old. Mm-hmm. When I turn 76 or 86 or however long I'm going to live, I still want to be as immature as possible because it keeps me young. Mm-hmm. You know, my parents are in their 70s. I don't look at them as being old. Mm-hmm. And I don't look at my children as being, you know, I don't look as my oldest as being 10 years old already.
Oh, wow.
I still see him as a little baby boy. Yeah. So I try to be as young as possible and youthful mm-hmm. as possible. So I guess the immaturity comes out in that sometimes.
we need that song, Forever Young.
Yes. Yes.
That's awesome. Well, I can attest to the fact that you're a pretty cool guy. I call you a friend. And I'm thankful that you came to spend some time with us and tell us about your life and your family and your business.
I'm super thrilled to be here and honored that you asked me.
Yep. On the Voices of Legacy, thank you so much, Mr. Ben, the Meat Man, Frobos.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Voices of Legacy. This is your friend, Pastor Carl Mitchell III, your host of this program. We want you to go to wgte.org/legacy to like, share, subscribe, and hear all of our past podcasts and our future podcasts. Be a friend and join with us in the Voices of Legacy, where you're writing your own legacy every day that you live. Have a blessed day.
WGTE. Voices around us.